All right, let's take our Bibles today and go to the book of Exodus, chapter 23. Exodus, chapter 23. I'm going to go ahead and share this with you all. There's been a lot of folks in the church. It's been about, I don't know, since 2015, since we have been to the Holy Land, and a bunch of people have been asking me when I'm going to schedule another trip. And so I'm working on one, and it's going to be awesome. We would fly from Dallas to Tel Aviv, so that's good. We don't have to go to New York City or New Jersey. And then we would do about 9 days or so, 8 days, full days in Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and then cross over into Jordan via the Allenby Bridge, which is just out from Jericho, and go into Jordan and see some of the things there that are new things that are available, and then go down to Petra and spend the night down at Petra in Jordan, and then the next morning go by bus from Jordan into Saudi Arabia, and it's safe. I checked, and go into Saudi Arabia and see what some new things that have been discovered and found down there that give validation to the book of Exodus, you can see those things with your literal eyes, and then read them right here out of the Bible and go, oh, wow. All right. So there's the split rock where Moses hit it with his staff, and the rock split and the water came out, that site, and the real Mount Sinai, the real Mount Sinai, not that great big mountain that we took the camels up, that is called Mount Sinai, but I don't think that is the original Mount Sinai. And then there are some other sites down there that are that we can do in about a day and a half, and then we would come back and spend the night in Israel once again, and then go from there to the airport and fly home. So I'm working on it. The price, I think, is going to surprise you. It surprised me so far. When I started looking at all that, I thought, wow, this is going to be $5,000-$6,000 a person, but it's not, and it's just going to be a little over $3,000 per person, and that's better than any price we've had in the last 20 years. That's I wanted you all to be thinking about that. I'm not sure exactly what time of the year that I will schedule it. I'm having trouble getting feedback on that from several of the folks that want to go. But if you would think about going, you think you'd like to go, if you would just think of a time of the year that you'd like to go. It's more expensive in the summer. It's hotter in the summer, blazing hot in the summer. All right, torch you hot in the summer, especially if you go down into the Saudi wilderness. And then think about when you'd like to go, and we'll try to get a consensus and schedule a trip. All right? Do what?
But not summer.
Not summer. No. Personally, I don't care if we go in the summer, but it's more expensive in the summer. So, you know, if y'all want to spend the money, let me know. It's only $100 more in the summer. All right, that's not much, but it could be for some folks. So let me know what you think. All right, Exodus 23. Are you there? Did I tell you that? Okay, that's good. All right, I want you to notice one verse. I'll tell you in my introduction the context for all this, but I'm going to speak this morning on verse 7. So look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. For I will not justify the wicked. I read that verse this week, and it just stunned me. To be honest with you, I don't even know what verse 8 says. I didn't go any further. I just stopped right there. I thought, wow, look at that verse. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. All right, let's pray. I want to preach the message this morning. I'm going to entitle Basic Laws for All Men. Basic Laws for All Men. You'll see why I'm going to call it that in just a moment. Let's pray, and then the message. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon us as we open your eternal word. And Father, I want to thank you so much for this passage and for these verses. They're such powerful truths that should guide and direct the steps of every person. Common sense things that will help us, that will shape us and mold us in life. And I pray that you'll bless now as we focus our attention on verse 7. And just help me as I speak. And I pray that you will help our folks as they listen. And just give us a great time together around your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When Moses was up on the mountain, up on Sinai, with the Lord gave him the law. We call it the law of Moses. Now, that law is recorded for us in the book of Exodus. It is also in Leviticus. It is also in the book of Numbers. And some of it is in the book of Deuteronomy. And that is the law of Moses. Now, many of the laws which God gave to the Israelites do not apply to us today. Many of the laws, I'm talking here about the ceremonial laws. And aren't you thankful that you don't have to eat kosher? I am. Yes, indeed. We don't have to eat kosher today. I'm also thankful that we do not have to come to church and offer sacrifices. Just the thought of that just gives me the willies. I would never want to do that. But the ceremonial law was given to the Jews as a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That law pictured the coming of the Lord Jesus and the gospel that he would provide to us. All right, does everybody see that? All right, nod your heads like this if you do. Okay, you got me? Now, in those laws, the gospel of Christ can be clearly seen. I have preached a multitude of sermons to you through the years on the pictures and the types that are found in the Old Testament, which are pictures of the gospel and what Jesus has done for us. Now, today, since we have the gospel in substance, we no longer need the pictures that were given in the Old Testament law. And that's why those ceremonial things do not apply to us. I'm glad that I don't have to stop out in the hallway at a laver and take a pitcher and pour water over my hands and over my feet and have one of the deacons pour a cruse of olive oil over my head before I can come in here and preach. I'm really thankful for that. But that's what they had to do in the Old Testament, you see. That was all a part of the ceremonial law. And that does not pertain to us today in the New Testament. You see, since we have the gospel in substance today, we don't need the pictures any longer. When you have the real thing, you no longer need a picture to remind you of the real thing. All right, does that make sense to you? When you have the real thing, I've illustrated this with you in the past by telling you that of my final year in Bible college, once removed, Karen was in West Virginia, and I was in Greenville, South Carolina. But I had a picture of her on my desk, and every time I looked over at that picture, it reminded me of her. All right? It was a picture of her. But it was not the real thing. But then when I graduated from college and came home, I had the real thing. And I didn't need a picture any longer, although I kept them up. But it didn't need it any longer because I had the substance, all right? So that is how you look at the ceremonial law compared to the gospel today. There was no, the ceremonial law is not for us today. Now, however, in the law of Moses. Now follow me, it's going to get a whole lot easier here in just a moment. But in the law, there are many commandments that the Lord gave to Moses, and many of those commandments are in these chapters surrounding our text this morning. Okay, many of these commandments have nothing to do with the ceremonial law. They have nothing to do with the ceremonial law. That is, the priest coming in, the sacrifices that were offered, and all the oils and all the water and all that stuff. They don't have anything to do with that. They are, however, laws that are basic to all men. You have heard the phrase the Judeo-Christian ethic. Well, that's what these laws are. They are based in Old Testament Judaism. They are based in Old Testament law, but those laws are good for all people everywhere. Look at the text verse. I mean, it would be good if men all over the world would keep thee far from a false matter. It would be wonderful if the world would stay away from the innocent and the righteous and killing them, murdering them. It would be wonderful if we understood that God is never going to justify the wicked. All men do, but God's not. These commandments lay down basic and important principles of life which we need to follow and we need to live by in order to have a functioning society. Okay? These commandments are just common sense things. And we had common sense one time in America. All right? It's flown out the door. I mean, that's kind of obvious. And it's flown off into the sunset. I mean, what in the world has happened to America? You know? Right has become wrong. Wrong has become right. Up is now down. Left is now right. Right is seen as evil, bigoted, homophobic, transphobic, extremist, and radical. That's how the world views us. Anybody that believes the Bible. You know, folks, that's the wonderful thing about the truth. It never changes. If something was true 300 years ago, then it's still true today. You with me on that? Truth never changes. Now, the liberals can change the laws which allow these truths to be destroyed, but that does not change the fact that the truth is still the truth. For example, thou shalt not kill. That's common sense, is it not? I mean, thou shalt not kill. And our laws have said for eons here in America that if you kill someone, you forfeit your right to live yourself. In other words, if you kill somebody on purpose, you did it on purpose, not accidentally, but on purpose. If you kill somebody, we're going to kill you back. All right? That's called capital punishment. And that's biblical. Now, I know we've all been so programmed that some of you are sitting here right now half in fright. Oh, what did he just say? Yeah. But today, even first-degree murder is winced at. Now, you shouldn't do that. I mean, in most of our major cities today, no bail is required. Can you imagine that? Did you see yesterday? It was announced, or Friday, it was announced that guy that killed a bunch of police officers out in California was back on the street 5 minutes after he walked into the courtroom with handcuffs on. No bail. Just turn loose. Does that make sense to any rational human being? No. But that's where we are. Most homicides and murders happen in our major cities today, and the perpetrator is then arrested and is immediately taken before a judge and then is set free. And they beat the policeman out of the courthouse laughing as they go. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. That's pretty clear, I think. And yet, blue states, including our own socialist republic, have said, well, fooey on that. We're not going to follow God's law here. We are going to change the thinking on all of this, and we're not going to call it killing a baby in the womb. We're going to redefine it as a woman's right to choose. Well, you go ahead and call it that. It's still murder. Y'all don't know it, but I got up this morning and took a whole bottle of mean pills. The whole bottle. And we're going to allow as many as want to murder their unborn babies to do so. And if you can't afford it, then we'll just charge it to the taxpayers. God help us. Now, verse 7 is such a verse. It is just such a verse. It is common sense. And we would all be much better off if we followed what verse 7 says. All right, now let me break it down for you. First of all, look at the verse. We see the separation law. Look at the first part of that. He said, keep thee far from a false matter. So what we see first is the separation law. The first part of this verse very clearly states, keep thou far from a false matter. This first phrase is a commandment given about the separation from evil. Separation from evil. It is, its principles are good for any people. I mean, it doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter your economic status. It does not matter any of it. None of that matters. We would all be better off as a world if we would keep far from a false matter. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. All right. Notice first under this, we have the separation law, and notice first the reason for separation. What is biblical separation? Why should we be a separate bunch? Well, folks, listen, both Old and New Testaments tell us that we should be separated from certain things so that we can be separated unto the Lord. Okay? We separate from so that we can separate unto. It's that simple. So what is the reason? Well, I think the reason for separation is at least twofold in nature. First of all, because evil and wickedness are contagious. They're contagious. You know, evil is like COVID-19. It's like influenza A. I mean, it's like a bad virus that gets in the air and affects and impacts thousands upon thousands, yea, millions of people. When sin and wickedness controls a society, when it's on your television set from 7 until 11 every evening, and when it is shown in just about every Hollywood movie being produced today, and when the lamestream media spins it for decades as something that, hey, everybody's doing this. And then the politicians come along and stick their finger in their mouth, hold it up, and see which way the wind's blowing, and then pass laws to facilitate that sin, that evil, that wickedness. And in their the laws that they produce, they take away the stain or the stigma connected with the sin, with the evil, with the wickedness. Well, then it naturally it will naturally prosper and spread like a virus upon a society. Y'all ought to be saying amen right there. I'm telling you, we're in trouble. Because evil and wickedness is contagious. Secondly, because evil and wickedness is corrupting. Corrupting. If you do not stay away from evil, it's going to corrupt you. I don't care who you are. You can be the quote unquote strongest person in the world, and it's going to get you. We always teased sons-in-laws and our son Josh. You know, they had here. This was the joke. They had impeccable immune systems. Impeccable. You know, Karen and I are blowing our nose and coughing and carrying on and they're running around with no jackets on, and like some other people I know, they're running around with no jackets on and running out in the cold air and coming in. So you're going to get sick. Oh, no, not me. Impeccable immune system. Well, now they're in their 40s and their impeccable immune systems have died on them. Well, I'm telling you, it'll get you. I don't care who you are. You know, if you stay away from evil, then it's not going to impact you. But if you hang around evil, it's going to corrupt you. David said, keep thee far from a false matter. Why, David? Because if we play around with evil, if we entertain it, if we do not take evil seriously for what it is, you mark it down, it's going to corrupt you. It's going to corrupt you. I remember years ago, when I was in college, we went to Tabernacle Baptist Church on Sunday nights. Dr. Harold Seitler was the pastor over there. And Dr. Seitler, I'd write down every word he said. I'd just write them all down. And Dr. Seitler would say all these little quips, you know, and I'd write them all down. But I remember him saying this when I wrote it down and put it in my Bible, and I've not forgotten it. He said, listen, if you don't want the fruit of sin, stay out of the devil's vineyard. That's good advice right there. That's good advice. What Paul say? He said, what you sow is what you reap. So you better be careful. The reason for separation, number one, it's contagious. Number two, it's corrupting. But then, not only do we have the reason, but notice we see the reproach in separation. You know, if one determines to do the right thing, there's always going to be a reproach to bear. Always. You know, the truth is, separation is not popular. I mean, it's probably less popular today than it's ever been. Nobody wants to hear about biblical separation. The popular thing today is to conglomerate. You know, today's world wants everyone to get together and not worry about separation issues. They would say the things that divide us should not be the matter of focus. It's the things that that unite us is what we ought to be looking at. Doesn't matter what divides us. Don't look at that. Well, that's not the way the Bible teaches it. Today we see Jews and professing Christians and Muslims all getting together as one. But wait a minute. Not to evangelize. Not to reach the world. Not to proclaim the gospel of Christ. No, they're all getting together so that they can stand in front of the media and smile and hold their hands up together and say, we're united. That's all the world wants to hear is, oh boy, we're all getting along. We're all united. That's what the world wants to hear. But wait a minute, folks. You cannot mix false doctrine with true doctrine. With this ecumenical, let's all get together mindset today, if one says, well, I can't go for that. I'm not going to go along with this. Then you are the one shunned. You are the one looked down on. You are the one dismissed. And you are the one talked about. Now, I think I told you all, if I didn't, I should have. Back in 2001, when 9/11 happened, the Ministerial Association, of which I don't belong to, but they all got together and decided they wanted to have a 9/11 memorial service. And so one day I looked up and one of the area pastors was standing in the doorway of my office. And I stood up and I said, oh man, good to see you. Come in. So he came in. I said, have a seat. What's up? And so he started talking and he said that he was selected to come and see me. And I said, what? He said, well, I was chosen to come. Well, that's probably not. I said, what do you mean? You flipped a coin and you lost? And he smiled and said, yeah, something like that. And what they wanted to do was they wanted to have a 9/11 memorial service, like a month after 9/11. And I said, well, where are you going to do this at? Well, we're going to do it out at Westminster High School. I said, oh. I said, well, what do you want me for? And they said, well, we want your choir and orchestra to do some numbers. I said, well, they don't do numbers, they do songs. And he, well, yeah, you know what I mean. And I probably did, but I didn't say anything. And I said, you want us to come and sing? Yeah. I said, okay, well, how long do you want me to preach? He said, well, yeah. And I said, so there's not going to be any preaching? No. I said, well, then there's not going to be any choir. And he said, well, if your people don't come, we won't, if you don't get your church to come, we're not going to be able to do this. I said, tough. You know? I said, I got an idea. He said, what? Oh, they were going to do it on Sunday night. So we would have to cancel our service and go over to Westminster High School. And I said, no. I said, but I got an idea. He said, what? I said, why don't we have it on Sunday night and we'll do it here in our building. And our choir will sing. And our people will be here. I said, we'll promote it. We'll do all we can, everything we can. Oh, wow, you'd do that? And I said, sure. So he pulls this thing out of his pocket and he goes, okay, what is Reverend so-and-so? What would they do? And I said, what do you mean, what would they do? Well, you know, they got to have a part in the program. I said, no. Now, they could come in, sit, you know, on the second row. That's fine. Well, what about Sister So? No. Nope. Well, who's going to do the program? I said, us. Our church. Well, what about Monsignor? What can he pray? No. To who? And so he said, well, they told me you'd say this. I said, well, they were right. They were right. Whatever happened to separation? Well, it went out the door, I can tell you that. And I was shunned, I was looked down on, I was dismissed, and richly talked about. I had people from other churches coming up. Are you from Open Door? Yep. You're the guy at Open Door? Yep. You're the pastor over there? Yep. You're the one that wouldn't let us have our memorial service over there? Yep, that's me. Well, I just don't understand that. And I never said a word. I just would smile and say, well, hopefully one day you will. I don't know what else to say. I couldn't say, well, if you'd read your Bible, you would. That wouldn't be very nice, would it? And I'm just all about being nice. John knows. John knows. All right, so that's the separation law. Now my time is gone. All right. Secondly, notice the slaying law. The slaying law. Look at the second part of this. Oh, it gets better, doesn't it? Keep thee far from a false matter, but watch this. And the innocent and righteous slay thou not. That's pretty clear, don't you think? Don't slay the innocent. Folks, listen, there is no one as innocent as an unborn child. Every civilized nation in the world says, in some form or another, that they follow this commandment. Every court in the land of Israel held to this principle and this position as the law of the land. And if people start going around killing one another, murdering one another without consequences, you are in no time going to have complete anarchy in the streets. And that's where we are right now. That's where we are right now. Folks, that is exactly what is happening in America. The progressives are doing away with you being responsible for your criminal activity. And the murder rate is up all over the nation. That guy that won the Senate race in Pennsylvania, that guy ran on the platform of releasing the prison population. Now you figure that. I hope none of them moved to Westminster. It's funny how the state police has a website where you can go and see all of the perverts in the county. You know? You can go see all the child molesters. Their picture is right there. Now they're going to turn them all loose. I don't get it. Should not this commandment apply to the unborn in our country? I mean, they're as innocent as they come. They don't get any more innocent than that. This is what happens to you, though, when you ignore God's commandments. Your mind turns to mush. You lose perspective. I read an article several years back now, about a fella down in a certain state, and he shot off his porch. He shot a doe that was, he thought, was eating his flowers. The doe, however, was on somebody else's property. his neighbor. And when the high-powered rifle went off, it just so happened that a game warden was driving by. That game warden stopped, turned off the road, and began looking for somebody who could have fired a gun. And they saw this fella go running across his yard, jump over a fence, and run over to where this doe had been shot. The fellow went over and game warden went over and said, "Sir, did you just shoot this deer?" He said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Why did you shoot this deer?" And he explained to him that he was eating his garden and he was tired of it. And the fellow said, "Is this deer on your property?" He said, "Well, no, it's not on my property. It's on my neighbor's property," but he wouldn't mind. He said, "Sir, the law does not have a stipulation for whether or not your neighbor minds." So he wrote him up a citation for killing an illegal deer, confiscated his gun, and fined him about $1,200. The policeman then took the guns and the deer, took it to get the deer processed so he could give it to charity. And when he did, the fellow who processed the deer said, "Oh, by the way, that deer was pregnant with twins." So the game warden came back and fined the fella $2,000 $1,200 for each of the twins. So now the law said that he had killed three animals. Three. Isn't it strange that we take better care of animals than we do our own? Don't you find that strange? What in the world has happened to our country? I'm telling you, folks, it's sad. It's so sad. We're treating animals with more respect than human babies. "The innocent and the righteous slay thou not. Slay thou not." Oh, it's sad what these people are doing to our nation. Then number three, I want you to see the sanctity law. God says, "I will not justify the wicked." And folks, this is what the world is interested in doing, justifying wicked behavior. Justifying wicked behavior. And not only wicked, but also their wickedness. Their wickedness. I took my wife Karen up to the Dobbin House Monday to celebrate her birthday. And we got there and sat down. There was people in there already. We sat upstairs and it was full. But it looked like everybody had just gotten there same time we did. And the waiters and the waitresses were all coming and the bartenders, you know. And they were ordering drinks. And Karen and I sat there and watched everybody around us order drinks. And about 15 minutes later, I leaned over and I said, "You notice how loud it is in here now? I mean, you couldn't hear yourself think." And there were people just cackling, laughing. There's one woman, she about drove me nuts, just cackling. I don't know what in the world was so funny. And I said, "Notice the more they drink, the louder they get." And boy, they did. And then I said, "And here's what's scary. These people, we need to hurry up and eat, because these people are going to go and get in a car and drive home. And you cannot tell me that they're fit to drive." But here's what the world does. They call it an adult beverage. An adult beverage. And then they give the drinks these real fancy names. You know, the little sheet said liqueurs. That's a French word. Y'all didn't know I was so smart, did you? That's a French word. Liqueurs. They don't call it liquor. No, it's liqueurs. It's cocktails. It's cocktails, not alcohol. It's being buzzed, not drunkenness. I mean, folks, listen, you can paint it up and make it acceptable and not really call it what it really is. But that does not change it. You know, our world does the exact same thing with every other vice. Oh, the lottery is going to help our schools. Really? How's that going? Oh, the casinos are going to help our roads and our bridges. Is that right? How about going out Luca Ball Mill? You need a tank to get out that road. Paint it up, though. Make it look respectful. I mean, what they're doing is they're putting a whole new class of people in an addiction that has ruined millions of marriages and cost millions of dollars to the economies. You know, if you take a pig and put it in a bathtub and scrub it, and then get some pearls and put it around its neck, and get a bow and tie it on its head, and you put lipstick on the front of it, and you take it back out and put it in the hog pen, you're going to find out that pig is still a pig. Careful. I heard that. Careful. The world says, oh, he's gay. Oh, she's gay. You can call it what you want. God says it's perversion. God says it's an abomination. In our schools today, you can criticize, vilify, hate on, be critical of God and the Lord Jesus and the Bible and the church to your little old heart's content. But you dare say something about transsexuals or homosexuals. And man, they'll jump on you with both feet to silence you. I mean, they'll be on you quicker than you can sneeze. You see, political correctness has replaced the Word of God and common sense. God help us, folks. God help us. You know, we all invent excuses to justify our wickedness, don't we? You remember Adam? Adam said, God, wasn't my fault. It was that woman you gave me. She's the one that caused me to sin. God looked at Eve and said, well, girl, what do you say? Wasn't me. It was that serpent. Nobody wants to take the blame. We pass the buck, don't we? Wasn't my fault. Wasn't my fault, but God firmly says and forcefully says that he will not justify evil. And you know, if God doesn't justify it, neither should we. Neither should we. God is not going to justify sin. God's going to punish sin. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. Father, I'm doing my best to warn our young people and to warn the young moms and dads not to be swept up in all this corruption that is taking place in our country. Father, help us to have the strength to stand, and having done all, to stand. Just stand for what's right. All these laws, they're just commandments that are there for now, they're for today. They'll make any people a better people if obeyed. And so, Father, help us now to understand what we have heard this morning and to stand strong against the devil and against sin and against corruption. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.